Isn't Lanker built on loam, though?
No,
no, that's like Morpork is built on loam. Hi, I'm Elizabeth Flux.
And I'm Ben McKenzie.
Welcome to Ook Club, a sporadic members-only version spin-off of Terry Pratchett's Wood Club.
Wow, I'm so confused. It's not Pratchett, is it?
Yeah, and I absolutely forgot the name of Pratchett when I was saying that and said Terry Pratchett's Book Club, which
is not a thing. Well, it kind of is a thing. You know, there is a...
It's an accurate summary.
There's a Terry Pratchett Book Club group on Facebook, which is kind of official.
But we are a Terry Pratchett Book Club, so I think we're now an Ook Club, so we can get away with that.
It's true. So welcome. If you're listening to this, then you are one of our paid-up subscribers. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast. It's a lot of work putting the podcast together each month, reading the book, sourcing the guest, doing all the editing, getting it out. And we try to keep it a consistent high quality, and we want to make sure we can always make the show that we want to make, which is long and has an in-depth discussion of the book. And your support really helps make that happen, means that we can afford to do all the things that we need to do and spend the time.
And we also love speaking with those of you who are on the Discord as well, because that also allows us to put new things into the show.
So thank you so much to everyone who has sent in a question or who supports the podcast in one way or another. We really, really super appreciate it.
I think it's coming across quite strongly how I'm terrible with like articulating genuine thanks, like because it means a lot, and I don't know how to say that properly. I'm good at talking about books, but when people are being nice and doing a thing, I want to scurry away into a corner and just scream books until they understand that I appreciate them.
Well, we won't go on about it every episode of the podcast. We want to cover it in this first one because we also know you've been waiting a while for this exclusive content. We're going to try and pump a few out a year. We haven't got a final strategy for that, but we've got an idea of how often it'll be.
You would not believe how long it took us to come up with the title Ook Club, which
should have been like the number one choice, really.
Yeah, you should have heard the squeals of delight when we came up with it.
We had a whole bit where we recorded like a sort of draft version of this podcast where a good, you know, 15 to 20 minutes of it was us discussing what we could call that podcast and not coming up with this name. So
it's like the Eureka moment from the book we read, like from, is it Small Gods? Is that in?
Anyway, I don't know. But look, basically the format's very simple. We're going to pick something fun to talk about or do that is Terry Pratchett related, and we're going to do it for your enjoyment. And then we're also going to answer a few questions, and we've got a few from you that you've entered in. So if you have any questions, if you're listening to this and you haven't sent us one, but if you think of any questions that are not about a specific book, just send them to us. You can do it via the Discord. You can do it via Twitter or social media if you want. You can send an email to our email address, which is chat@pratchettpodcast.com. And we will pepper them in, and we'll try and answer at least, you know, three or four questions each episode, because we've got a few banked up.
And same goes for if you have suggestions of fun things we could do. We've got a few planned, but if there's something particular you think would be good, we're very open to suggestions as well.
Yeah. Now, Lisa, you had a great idea for what we thought we might do for our first bonus episode of the Ook Club.
Yeah, it's a bit of a risk one, but I thought we could do one or two Terry Pratchett quizzes that are available on the internet and just see how we compare, and then also share links to the ones that we're doing so that you can see how you compare as well. I'm going to confess, I found one and I'm scared. I haven't looked at the questions yet, but I'm worried now that I'm going to expose myself as someone who cannot retain the information.
Well, look, you know, I think there's different kinds of information about this stuff. And like as somebody who for a long time was seen as like some sort of, you know, Doctor Who expert, and I'd like to think that I do know a lot about the show, but there are whole categories of information about that show that I know very little about. Like I am very bad at knowing anything about behind the scenes stuff. I am pretty good at the fictional narrative universe, but then I sort of know the stuff that I think is important, and the minutiae is not really that exciting to me, but although there are plenty of like little facts. And of course, what seems like trivia to someone who's outside of that pop cultural scene is everything.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're in it, like you might distinguish between, look, you know, I know what this race of aliens is called. I know what the name of this villain is. I know how many times the Doctor can regenerate, etc. But I don't know, you know, the serial number of this type of robot.
Or what year they introduced this, because like that's not really trivia in the sense of knowing about the show. That's about the production of the show, which is different. So,
and I mean, there is stuff like that that I do know. But yeah, so I don't know how this is going to go either. But I think we've kind of picked one easy and one hard one.
Yeah, I only saw the first question, the first one. So
okay,
I don't know what to expect, and it's going to be interesting. Please don't judge us if we get it wrong. And we're going to do it together so Ben can carry us on this, so no pressure.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. So the first one we're going to do is the one that you sent us in, I think, Liz, which is the hopefully slightly easier one because it's for a more general audience.
Yeah, it's from The Guardian. It's from 2014, I think.
And if you want to take the quz before you hear us give the answers get pause the podcast, look in the show notes for this episode or wherever we put them. And I have to say that as I say this, I am still not 100% sure how this will be delivered to you. So hopefully it's in a format where you can easily find.
So if you hear a pigeon banging on your window, let it in.
Yeah.
It's probably got a USB on its leg.
It's the new club.
Pigeon.
there's still an RFC article for that. So do you know about this?
No.
So on the internet, the secret masters of the internet, there's like these official, semi-official kind of systems by which they would request people comment on ideas for how the internet should be run. And they were called RFCs, request for comment, where someone would put up an idea and say, what do you think? And there is one for an alternate system of exchanging information using carrier pigeons in an internet-like fashion, which I forget the number. I'll put that in the show notes if we have show notes.
Show notes for the Ook Club.
We'll have, yeah.
O-notes.
Ook notes?
Boo notes.
I don't know. Anyway, all right, so we're going to do the Guardian's Terry Pratchett quiz, which is from 2014.
Mm.
So is that – that's pre – end of Pratchett, isn't it? Wasn't that 2015?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure now either. That's terrible that I don't know that. We failed the first trivia question. It's not even on the quiz.
Well, I think I've deliberately suppressed that.
Yeah. Well, it's a while ago now anyway, so maybe it was 2014. It
happened between 2014 and 2016. Yeah. I know that.
You know what? I think this is actually post. Anyway. Let's get into it.
Right, shall I read the first question?
Yeah, go for it.
Right, who is the amazing Maurice? A goblin, a rat, a tiny blue kilted man, or a cat?
Wow, they're all good answers, but I think we all know the answer to this, that the amazing Maurice is...
Yeah, I'm going to plug in a cat.
Yeah. A cat, it's a cat.
So I'm just getting like flashbacks to doing the Billy Joel, like how well do you know the lyrics to Billy Joel's Piano Man from Click Hole, where everything's a joke?
You showed that to me recently for the first time. It blew my mind. We'll put a link to that in the show notes too.
It's the best quiz I've ever done anywhere. It is
so much fun.
It's brilliant, and I've known about it for like as long as it's been out, and I've done it every year like twice, and it's still always funny.
Just a word to the wise. It does go into some dark and weird places. So just prepare yourself. It's not a light fluffy thing, but it is hilarious. Okay.
All right. Number two. Which of the following was Terry Pratchett's first novel? The Carpet People, The Dark Side of the Sun, The Wind in the Willows, or The Color of Magic?
Now, this one, I think we're pretty confident about
this. I've got 50-50 on this for me, actually.
Oh, really?
Because I always forget because there's like two really... Is it The Carpet People?
Yes.
Yeah, because Dark Side of the Sun is his first published one. No, he rewrote The Carpet People later and then...
Yeah. But The Dark Side of the Sun...
Second one.
It's published after The Carpet People. Okay. Is my understanding. So I would say The Carpet People, yes. Because he wrote it when he was like 17 or something, the first version of it. It's crazy.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Thank you for throwing The Wind in the Willows in there. That made me feel real good. Okay. Three, Discworld stands atop a giant turtle. What is the turtle's name? Donatello?
Great. That's great. I can't believe they said that, but that's great.
Great Tifon? Great Achuin or Tubal?
They've thrown in some shade here. Like they're trying to scare us off.
Yeah.
Because there are three Discworld names in there.
Hmm.
And one Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, my favorite Ninja Turtle of all, Great Tifon.
Yeah. No, because Great Tifon and Tubal are names of two of the elephants.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure they both are. I'm sure, 100% sure on Great Tifon. But we all know that it's
Achuin.
Yeah. Great Achuin, the Star Turtle. As you would know from every hated stellar cosmic interlude at the beginning of every book.
I don't hate them. They just make me bored.
Well, they're blessedly brief if you're bored by them. Yeah. I enjoy them.
Yeah, as in like I enjoy parts of them, but yeah.
That's fine. Okay, let's keep going.
All right, so question four. Complete the quote from Lords and Ladies. In the beginning there was a giant turtle, Nothing, which exploded, only a small number of Discworld novels, or a wizard named Rincewind.
Hmm. You know, it's not that long ago that we read it. I should be able to remember this.
I think I know this one.
But I know which one I am going to guess it is, but I don't remember it.
I'm like 97% confident it's Nothing Which Exploded.
Yeah, which I love. That is such a good game.
Yeah.
I really like that. I'm into it. Yeah, let's do that one.
All right. Who illustrated Terry Pratchett's Discworld books? Tiffany Aching, Paul Kidby, Chris Riddell, or Quentin Blake? We're going to just go straight for the Paul Kidby on that one.
Although that's misleading because he didn't do all of them.
Oh, we're going to be those people at the trivia night to be like, well, actually, like, you should have a bonus point for like if you like.
No, it's not allowed.
It is allowed, and I am that person at quiz night. So.
No, not any quiz night I run. Oh man, okay, all right.
That's why I don't go to them. I'm banned.
Okay,
preemptively banned. Which of the following titles was not a novel by Terry Pratchett and Stephen Baxter? Sorry, the double negatives has gotten me. That's my like kryptonite. All right. The Long Mars, The Long Earth, The Long War, and The Long Arm.
Well, it's the joke answer that's not the real one, right?
I know, but it's just it did that thing to my brain where I used to go, oh, it's a trick question, and then but you're like, wait, what is it is? No. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
No, but yeah. No. It's the
long arm. The long arm. It's not what one of them's called.
That was what their crime novel would be called.
Yeah. We are going to read those at some point, by the way.
All right. Who is the main protagonist of Going Postal? Sam Vimes, Dodger, Mort, or Moist von Lipwig?
I don't know. Do you know the answer to this one, Liz? Do you?
I don't know. Isn't it Donatello?
I don't think so. I think it's Maurice. Isn't it the Amazing Maurice? They haven't even listed the right answer.
Yeah. It's just yeah. We'll just move on from that one. Yeah.
Yeah, we all know.
Yeah.
It's Moist von Lipwig.
Yeah. All right. Question 8. Nunc id vides, nunc nevides is the official Latin motto of the Unseen University. To which English phrase does the motto closest translate? Never tickle a sleeping dragon. No, no, you're doing it all wrong. Now you see it, now you don't. Eat a bit of pie.
Now, I like all of those, but I am 100% sure I know the right answer to this.
All right. Well, I will pretend. No, I have no idea.
Oh, it's a now you see it, now you don't.
Ah.
Because it's the Unseen University.
That is, oh, it's very good.
Yeah, I'm sure that's it. And also because that's something that you say in a magic show.
So I would have said never tickle a sleeping dragon.
Which is also good, but it's not.
Like I love them all, but that's one I would have guessed as, but yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay. That's what I reckon. And of course, it's not actually Latin. Well, do you remember, what do they call the equivalent of Latin? There is a name for it. Is it like Old Morpokian or
something like that?
Yeah, anyway.
So what is the occupation of Bloody Stupid Johnson? Is he a wizard, an inventor, fishmonger, or basket weaver? I mean, arguably, he's none of those.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, he's not any of those. I mean, he's technically, isn't he an architect? Like, that's most of the things. But then he also does things like organs and stuff. So I guess he's an inventor.
Yeah, so like, but he's bad at it. So like, but I mean, even if you're bad at a thing, you're still the thing.
You're still the thing. Yeah.
All right.
Like, I'm still an actor.
But like, hey, we will not have any of that kind of talk.
Sorry. No, it's true. I'm all right.
All right.
I do all right.
Good. All right. Final one. Complete the Pratchett title, Something at Crumbling Castle. What? Oh, sorry. There's the options are mice, dragons, gnomes, or restoration works.
That last one's that's very funny.
Yeah.
I know the answer to this.
I don't.
You don't know the answer?
No.
Well, this is, okay, so this is the title of one of the collections of his early short stories for children. Does that give you a hint?
Restoration works, definitely.
No. Although that would be funny. No, it's Dragons at Crumbling Castle.
Huh.
Yeah, and I've read that. I haven't read much of them, but I am, because we'd like to cover those eventually on the podcast as well. In fact, and we don't mind. I think this is a good place to share a little bit more about our plans when they're not fixed, because we don't want to share them publicly if we don't know what we're going to do. But I have this long-standing idea that I would love to do a episode where we read some of the short stories to a bunch of young kids and get their impressions of what they think of the stories, because I think that would be great. And these short stories are, they're very funny. The Dragons at Crumbling Castle is about these knights who go off to sort out these dragons who've moved into the crumbling castle, and the dragons turn out to be very friendly and nice, and it's a super cute, funny story. There's some great stories in that book.
And pre-Shrek.
Pre-Shrek, yeah. Okay, so how did we do?
All right, I'm pressing submit answers.
Yeah.
All right, so Morris is a cat, Carpet People First Book, Great Ed Chewin, Nothing Which Exploded, Paul Kidby, The Long Arm, Moist Foot and Lip Wig, Now You See It, Now You Don't, Inventor, Dragons, 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. All right. We are allowed to keep doing the podcast.
All right.
We didn't set that as a parameter, but I think we were both feeling it.
Yeah, I was like, oh, no. Yeah.
All right. Look, it's time to do this more difficult one, though.
All right.
I think.
Do you want to read the first 10 questions and I read the last 10 questions?
Okay, that seems fair. Now, we should point out this. I've lost it. Where is it? Oh, I've got it here. It's in the app. So this was published by a reader on Goodreads. We'll pop the URL up for you. It's in the show notes as well, or wherever you can find notes on this audio. If you want to do the quiz before we do it, you can also write down your answers as you go and see how you compare to us if you want. I guess you can do that because we are reading them out, aren't we?
Yeah.
It's described as an expert's quiz.
It's actually described as an expert's quiz.
Yeah. So we might do some massaging of the where it's written a little bit slapdash, but it says the more casual Discord reader may find this excruciatingly difficult. Anyone with more than 5 out of 20 should have a more than basic knowledge of the Discworld, and any score over 10 is quite astounding. So, okay, so they've set the bar low, 50% pass mark. Actually, 25% pass mark, I guess.
P's get degrees.
True. That's true. All right, so let's get into it. I'm looking at the first question. It's already significantly harder.
Yeah, I saw key words from it and I internally started to weep, so we'll see how we go.
Yeah, okay, here we go. Taking for granted that Kanina and Nigel the Destroyer are happily wed, do we want to take that for granted?
I don't know. I don't want them to be.
No.
If they are wed, I want it to be happily, but I don't want to take it for granted that they are wed.
Yeah. No, I hope they spend a lot more time together figuring that out before they do anything.
Mm.
But anyway, if taking for granted that they are, what name do they go by? And look, this, I'm going to presume that they are assuming they've taken Nigel's name in a sort of patriarchal, patronymic kind of standard way, which I'm not sure is the case. Although, well, Kanina seems pretty keen to get away from her past, so maybe she'd be happy with that. I don't know. As long as they discuss it.
Anyway. So taking for granted that they get married and taking for granted that they're going to take his name.
Yeah, this is a long-winded way of asking what's Nigel the Destroyer's last name.
Yeah.
But the answers are Mr. and Mrs. Hairbutt, Mr. and Mrs. Rust, Mr. and Mrs. Hairdo, and Mr. and Mrs. Hamfist.
It's Hairbutt or Hairdo, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's Hamfust or Rust. Hamfust.
Hamfust or Rust.
I don't think it's Hamfist or Rust. I think it's Hairbutt. I think it's Nigel Hairbutt.
I thought it was Hairdo, so let's put in different.
Okay, well, I'm going to say, okay, we can differ. Okay. We agreed with all the answers last time. I put in Hairbutt.
I'm basing Hairbutt. It on nothing except for gut feelings.
Okay,
so.
Fair enough. Yeah. All right, here we go. Question two. What regular periodical reporting mainly on murders, the name of which is based on the Ankh-Morpork Pork Jail, is sold all over the plains? I'm so sorry for how this is worded. I feel mean because people are going to know who this is, but it is a bit trickily worded. Anyway, so
it's hard to write a quiz, though. I've written quizzes for things like for
it's
these
hard because you don't want to just ask every question in a very straightforward manner. But sometimes in not doing that, you can tie yourself up in knots. Anyway, so basically, what regular periodical is sold all over the plains, reporting mainly on murders, the name of which is based on the Ankh-Morpork Jail? So is it What Gallows, the Ankh-Morpork Crumlin, the Tanti Bugle, or the Hattican Spy? Now, I think I know. I'm going to have a guess. I don't remember this from the book itself, but
I can't remember it either. I like the idea of the Tanti Bugle. I assume the word.
I was thinking Tanti Bugle because I'm sure that they refer to one of the prisons in Ankh-Morpork as the Tanti.
I would love it to be What Gallows.
That would be
this. The person who wrote this has a real key, has a real eye for the other answers, though.
So yeah. No, they're good. They're very good. I'm going to go Tanti Bugle.
Yeah,
I think it's Tanti Bugle.
Agree with you on that one.
I'm going to go that. Question three. Which god is known as the god of paperclips, correct things in the right place in small disk stationery sets, and unnecessary paperwork? And the answers are Nuggan, Astragal, Glypso, and Hyperopia.
It's Astragal, right?
No, I don't think.
But that's just the only name I remember.
Oh,
so.
But he's not a god, though. He's a demon.
That's true.
He's not a god.
Yeah, I just went with the one that I recognize. But yeah, he's from Eric.
Is it Nuggan? Because I remember Nuggan being referenced as a god many times.
Hyperopia makes a sense to me in terms of it would be to do with, like, vision.
Mm.
Like, you'd, like, have, like, wearing glasses at a desk, but I think Nuggin sounds the second most familiar.
Well, I'm going to go with Nuggin. I think that's correct.
I think that's correct as well. I just think Hyperopia is a good option.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with Nuggin as well.
You can choose it if you want.
But no, as in I agree with you, but I'm like, that's a smart one to say.
You're onto it. Okay, yeah. All right. Henry Slug is also known as Duke Felmet, Huel, Reynold Stitched, or Signor Enrico Basilica. Mm. Now, I do know the answer to this. This is quite relevant because the next book we're reading is Masquerade.
Well, it's been a long time since I've done it, so I'm just going to have to defer to you.
I'm pretty sure that Henry Slug is Enrico Basilica's real name, but that he adopts a sort of foreign-sounding name because people think that's what opera singers should be called.
There is also just some very good misdirection here because you're like, that's not from this book.
It's good.
Agreed.
All right, question five. The history monks have a great monastery in an airy valley somewhere high up in the Ramtop Mountains. Which of these places isn't part of the grounds? Is it the Garden of the Four Elements, the Hall for the Procrastinators, the Garden of Three Surmises, and the Mandala Hall? Or Mandala. How do you say that?
I think it's Mandala.
Mandala. That's how I always say it, but then I second guess myself. All right, so which one isn't part of the grounds? I mean, look, they all sound good. I kind of, it's annoying because I suspect it's the one, I wish was part of it because I really like the idea of a hall for procrastinators.
Part of me is like,
but I don't think there is one.
Part of me wants it to be like, there can't be two gardens, but there's lots of gardens in places like that.
Actually, wait, hang on a second. Isn't the procrastinators, aren't they what they call the things that create, that spend time? Isn't that a name of the device that the history monks have? It's been a while since I've read one.
My exam strategy brain is saying there's two options that say garden, so it's one of those is not the correct one, but that's not necessarily rational because in a monastery you'd have several gardens.
Yeah, but I feel like Garden of Three Surmises is more interesting because Garden of the Four Elements is something like you'd find in plenty of stories. So I'm going to say it's the Four Elements is the one that isn't there. That's what I think.
Part of me thinks that he would put that in there as a key plot point. So I would think Garden of the Three Surmises sounds more Pratchett-y, but I also feel like the Garden of Four Elements could be there for a plot reason. But I'm going to go with that as well because it's less Pratchett-y. There's definitely someone listening to this like just screaming in the answer, like tearing their hair out.
And look, that's fine. Please feel free to jump on the Discord, get on the email and tell us how much better you did at these quizzes than
please
us.
Please do.
We'd love to hear it. All right, question six. A well-known but rather stupid explorer died after he yelled at a native, in inverted commas, and jabbed him with his walking stick in an attempt to make him stand up straight and say something other than "ook." Who is he and where did he die? All right, so is it Sir Reynold Stitched, who died in Lesp, Sir Roderick Purdley, who died in Bang Bang Duck, Sir Francis Bloat, who died in Hung Hung, or Sir Christopher's Bloodmelon, died in the Brown Islands. Now, this is not ringing a bell for me. This obviously isn't a book that I haven't read for a while.
I reckon it's going to be B or C based purely on how
really
Pratchett-y it is. A is a strong option for me. They're all very good. That's the problem.
You know, I'm going to go with the last one. I'm going to say Sir Christopher's Bloodmelon.
I'm going to say Sir Roderick Purday, Bang Bang Duck.
Okay. All right. I'm going to do it. All right. Question seven. Who owns in title The Chalk, which is an area named Moorpork, I think, isn't it?
More chalk.
Is it the Barons de Chumsfanley, the Lords of Felmet, the Counts of Wiltshire, or the Lords of Willemsburg? And now that I've said that, the Chalk is not in Ankh-Morpork, is it? It's part of Lancre, isn't it?
I can't remember.
I think it might be.
Isn't Lancre built on loam, though?
No,
that's Ankh-Morpork is built on loam.
Yeah. And I think it's called the Chalk because it's like, you know, in Salisbury they have that place where it's not built on.
Wiltshire
I don't know. Anyway, I have no idea about this one.
I feel like it's not Felmet because no, that's Felmet. A character. So let's get rid of that one. Wiltshire sounds too much like Wiltshire and I don't think he'd do that.
Yeah, it's a bit close.
So I think it based on, so for me, it's 50-50 between the Barons and the Lords. And there's two Lords options, which to me suggests one of them might be the real one. So I'm going to go with Lord Wilhelmsburg.
Okay. Well, I'm going to differ with you. I'm going to say the Barons de Chum's family, which may be completely wrong, but I'm going to go for it anyway.
Mm. So that's not based on Pratchett knowledge. That's based on weird process of elimination. That's not really a thing.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Okay, here we go. Who is considered the Discworld's greatest conqueror? Is it Creosote, Laviolus, Carolinus, or Tacticus?
Laviolus, isn't it?
No, well, he's more the Odysseus figure. Like, that's the guy who's Rincewind's ancestor who we meet in Eric. Mm. And he's not a conqueror.
Yeah.
Like, he travels a lot, but he runs away. It's not Creosote because he's just a rich guy. He's one of the last two. And Tacticus is like the real one, right?
I think it's his tactics.
Yeah, that's where the name comes from.
All right, let's go with that.
I'm going to go with the third one.
I went with Tacticus.
Did you? Oh, no, because that's like a real one from like real life.
Well, I can go back to previous question.
I think it's the third one. I think it's Carolinus. But wow. But I don't know for sure. No. I'm going to go with that though.
Yeah.
Because I actually would have thought of it. There's a different name that's sort of rattling around in my head.
This is really stressing me.
Is it? Oh, no. Well, this is your idea.
I know. Why was it my idea?
I don't know.
Do something fun, they said.
Okay, here we go.
An exam.
Who thought of that? Okay, question number 9. What is Dolores de Sin's real name? Theda Withel, July Stollop, Lucy Tockley, or Ermintrude Fanshawe? Now, I think, is Dolores de Sin, is that one of the coven in Lanka in Lords and Ladies? Is she one of them?
Doesn't ring a bell.
I don't know.
But maybe it is because, like, my gut instinct was Lucy Tockley.
Well, Lucy Tockley is one of the coven, and that could be her. That could have been her fake witchy name.
All right, well, I'm going to go with that.
You're going to go with Lucy? I'm going to go with Lucy.
That was my gut instinct.
It could also be Theda Withel, because I think they're all – I think they might – I don't think all of them are, but I think many of those are actual names of the coven. But I don't know which one is the right one. So I'm gonna go Lucy as well. I think it's Lucy Tockley. All right, question 10. This is the last one I'm going to read out. In the Ramtops, how many words, however unprintable they may be, are there for snow?
Mm.
Oh, this is one I'm just – this is going to be a blind guess. Is it 14, 16, 18, or 20? I reckon – and I'm just guessing here because I remember the joke that they have about this, but I don't remember the specific number. I'm going to go 16.
I'm going to go 14 because that is, to me, more comedic written down.
It's more a funny number.
Like, if I was writing this joke, I'd make it 14.
Okay.
Is my only reason.
You know, I actually find that rationale quite compelling and I want to change my answer, but and am I going – because I haven't tapped it yet. I – look.
Because apparently, Monty Python, apparently, when they took their jokes very seriously.
Yeah.
Right? And apparently they had a huge fight one time, like they divided the group over – there was a scene which is in the background, and I can't remember what sketch this is or if it ended up happening, where there's a stuffed sheep or goat with a light bulb in its mouth, and they had a huge debate over what's funnier, if that would be a sheep or a goat. And that's what I feel like that question is like. Is 14
well,
funnier than 16?
Specificity is always funnier. See, my thing is I would have made it an odd number, not an even number.
Yep, see, but I feel like 14 is the oddest even number that's still low.
Look,
out of
right,
all of
look,
those ones, 18 is an extremely even number, and so is 16.
16 is a perfect square as well, so it doesn't seem like a weird number of things to have. So I'm going to go 14. I'm going to change my mind. You've convinced me. Right. I'm going to go 14 as well.
And 16 and 18 are milestone birthdays. 20 is too round, so.
Yeah, okay. All right. I'm convinced.
All right.
Now you're going to read the questions.
All right. Which is the nearest major city to Ankh Morpork? Now it's broken my brain. I can't even say the simple things anymore.
Well, I think this is also the fault of a previous guest who insisted on pronouncing it Ankh Morpork.
Yes.
Which we never commented on, but everyone else has been very polite about as well. Yes. I found it distracting, I'll be honest.
All right.
I did, listeners.
Well, which is the nearest major city to Ankh Mor something? Stolat, Pseudopolis, Quorum, or Stohelit? Geography is not even – I can't even do real world geography.
Because I call it Stohelet.
Yeah, because Susan Stohelet's from –
Stohelet's not a major city though.
Oh, a major – that's – you can't have a double
Neither
trick in
Stolat.
There.
Neither is Stolat. They're not major cities.
Yeah, but that's not fair as a quiz question because, like, there's the two things, like, what's geographically closer and then what is classified as a major city? That's like a double
I think it's Qom. And Qom is like a city-state, but it's the equivalent of France. So, that's my feeling.
All right, but in terms of which one's physically closest to Angkor Morpork?
Stohelet and Stolat because they're in the Stow Plains, which is just outside the city.
Okay, so let's put Qom. Assuming that it's a fair question, that's those two things. But if it is purely a geographical question, the word major shouldn't have been there, then we would have put one of the stows and then we're still correct. So basically,
you're gaming the system, but I'm putting Qom.
I'm very here for fair questions.
Okay, all right.
All right. What is the name of the, quote, ideas taster Vimes goes to visit on the way to the New Kings himself? Bonk? He doesn't have one. Sorry. Reese or D?
Ideas taste. I don't remember this.
Isn't this from Fifth Elephant?
Maybe it is. Oh,
no, what's the one with the schoon?
Oh no, that's Thud with the new low king of the dwarves.
Yeah, so it'd be from.
So maybe that's from that. Oh, ideas taste. That does ring a faint bell now that we say that. See, this is the thing, listeners. Because we've been rereading them and we started from the beginning and we're doing them one a month. I think the later books, because we haven't read them, but we have read all these other ones. I don't know about you, Liz, but I'm finding it hard to remember details of some of those. And yeah. Because it's been like 20 years since I've read a lot of them.
Yeah. Well, I feel like it could be, like it very much could be he doesn't have one, sorry, because that is the kind of joke that he'd make.
Yeah.
And if it's from Thud, Bonk makes sense, but then Bonk makes too much sense and is not. Yeah. Reese is too much of a dwarf name.
Yeah.
Sorry, anyone called Reese?
It's all right. Nothing wrong with having a dwarf name.
It's because Reese, what's his name, fancy British guy played Gimli.
Oh, I see.
That's why it's too much of a dwarf name to me.
I see what you mean. Yeah. His name is escaping me right now.
All of these are very Reese something Davies. But anyway.
Yeah, John Reese Davies.
These are all very plausible. I'm going to go with he doesn't have one, sorry. But I don't think that's the answer.
I'm going to guess. Oh, I'm going to go D. I don't know why.
D again?
It's D.
D. Oh, yeah. Oh, D was D.
D with D, double D. D. Double E, sorry. Double E.
Oh, here's one. All right. What is Imp Esilin's nickname? King, Buddy, Rock, or Johnny B? All right.
Well, we know that one. It's Buddy. Yeah. And actually, this is a good place where we can mention that somebody on Twitter pointed out to us that the Welsh of Imp Esilin was Johnny. Was it Johnny B. Good? No, it was. What was it? He explained what the joke was, and it was something that we didn't pick up. Yeah. I can't remember. Anyway,
but it was very good, and I remember enjoying it at the time immensely.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
All right, who's Bugger Up University's Arch Chancellor? Bill Rincewind, Bob Rincewind, Harry Rincewind or Ozzy Rincewind?
I'm pretty sure his name's Bill.
All right.
Because out of those, that's the most Australian name.
Yeah.
I mean, Bob is a pretty Australian name too, but I'm pretty sure his name's Bill Rincewind. Yeah. I remember that.
What is the currency in Hashiba called? The Wong, the Long, the Dong or the Kong?
I feel like it's got to be the Dong, right? Like that's the funniest one.
But that's a real currency.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, that might be the
joke.
Yeah. Well, I can see. Well, as our recent experience rereading Interesting Times showed us, he's not afraid of making fun of.
Oh, but isn't like that's why I think he'd do a rhyming one rather than the actual one.
Right. Well, the Wong doesn't sound right.
No, because that's a too common a name. The Long is.
The Long or the Kong.
The Dong is the one I would choose, but Kong is the one that I'd choose if the Dong wasn't a real currency. So I think I'm going to go with the Kong.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Kong
because I'm betting on he wouldn't do the real one.
You changed my mind. I didn't know that was a real one. Okay.
What if it's not and I'm wrong? Like, that rhymes too. We'll get it wrong.
At least we'll have picked a rhyming thing.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right. The pointless albatross is used by the Gaetian Empire as a messenger. In which of these following novels doesn't it make an appearance?
Well, we know that because we read it recently. It's Interesting Times, right?
No, it doesn't make an appearance.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. Remember? Because it was never here.
Oh, is that going to be that?
It was never here. Because
the Light, Fantastic, Color of Magic, Interesting Time, The Last Hero. Does it show up in The Last Hero?
Well, I don't remember if there's one in the Light, Fantastic. I'm pretty sure there would be one in The Last Hero because otherwise how do Rincewind and Carrot find out about what Cohen and Co are doing in the Empire?
Because this one, it depends on if we take it literally or if we take it in the spirit of the books.
I think I'm going to go with the spirit of the books and I'm going to say Interesting Times.
All right. And I'm going to go with light fantastic, but even though I think you're right, just to give us a sporting chance. It's like we're at the supermarket and we're lining up in two separate lines, but we've got the same groceries, so that whoever gets to the front first.
He's like, come over here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Terrible behavior. All right.
It's not terrible behavior.
Okay, no, I'm
supermarket over... strategy.
Okay, sure. That's a game show waiting to happen.
Supermarket Welcome strategy.
To supermarket strategy. Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Our next subscriber content is going to be us at the supermarket racing to get to the front of the line.
Yeah. Oh, this is probably a good point to mention too. If you have ideas for stuff you'd like us to do on this podcast, we are all ears. We've got a few more ideas, but we'll do lots of things.
Yeah.
We're keen.
All right. Esmeralda Margaret of Lancre is the daughter of King Verence of Lancre and Queen Magrat and heir to the throne. What's her third name? Is it Geetha, Help May, Note Spelling, or Anastasia?
I'm pretty sure it's Note Spelling because yep. That's the whole gag, which is great. I love that gag.
Because of Magrat. Yeah, it was very good.
Yeah.
All right. Which of the following characters isn't part of the farmhands usually working for such smallholders as Miss Flitworth? Duke Bottomley, Gabby Wheels, William Spigot, King Scumble.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I have no idea.
I can't remember their names. So this is in Reaper Man, right? These are the people who help out on her farm and who get drunk with Death while he's Bill Dore. But
Scumble's what they drink, isn't it? So yeah. It wouldn't be King Scumble.
I feel like Gabby is not one of the farmhands. I feel like they're all men and Gabby's more of a not a man's name.
And I guess you would call like someone King the drink we're drinking.
Well, I think that was a gag in there that they were brothers or that like people had called each other. They got called Duke and King and stuff.
All right, let's say Gabby Wheels then.
I think it's Gabby Wheels. I might be wrong about that.
We might be wrong about a lot of things.
But. Well, true, yeah.
All right, question 19. An Ankh-Morpork'ian pub, also known as Beers, whose clientele includes vampires, ghouls, bogeymen, and werewolves, was precedently named. Precedently named?
I think they mean previously named. Or right. Precedently named?
It's just, I'm having trouble with words now.
Well, I don't think that is a word. I don't think you say precedently.
But
I think they mean previously.
Language has done its job as if we understand the words that are... Oh, no, I'm really... Okay. The Widow's Paradise, The Queen's Head, The Swan's Mane, and The Crown and Axe.
I have no idea. This does ring a bell, but I don't remember. There's like a gag about it. From memory, it's like they changed the sign outside and the sign used to have... Oh, I don't know. But it's the undead pub. Which is actually, that would be the one where Angua goes, right?
Mm. Has Ankh-Morpork had a queen? I don't think that I can think of one off the top of my head. And also the Queen's Head seems like something that would be like in the Stow Plains.
I want to say the Crown and Axe.
I want to say the Widow's Paradise because everyone's dead, but I feel like that's probably deliberately luring me red herringly into
maybe.
That.
I'm going
to
go Crown and Axe.
And I'm going to go the Widow's Paradise.
Okay. All right.
All right.
So last question.
Susan Stowe-Hellett has a birthmark that shows only when she's angry or blushes. What does it look like? Glowing purple eyes, three faint lines appearing on her cheek, a red and twitching nose, hairy and ever-growing feet and legs.
Ever-growing feet and legs. That's amazing.
I love
like
that so much. It's three faint lines.
Yeah, it is three faint lines. That is a relatively easy one to finish off with. We know
Thank
that.
You for that. We appreciate it. Especially the hairy and
That is hilarious.
Was asking if I'd like to check our answers. I very much would not.
No, let's just do it. Let's find out. Only the quiz score from the first time will be recorded permanently. Oh, God. Oh, okay.
One, two, three. I'm logged into my Goodreads too. No, what if it doesn't update of how crap I am?
I think I am.
Oh, I'm pressing submit.
I have. Okay. All right.
Oh, no.
What have you got?
I got 10 out of 20.
Oh.
So that's okay. That was the pass mark.
That's true. I got 12.
Well, fine.
I got 12 out of 20. Doesn't say which ones were correct,
though. There's a see correct answers button.
Oh, it does. Should we tell people?
I was wanting to need to log in with things and
I'm logged in.
Okay.
I can tell you.
All right.
So question one, Hairbutt. Is Nigel the Destroyer's last name.
Okay, so I lost one there.
Question two, the Tanty Bugle, correct. Question three, Nuggin is the god of paperclips, correct things in the right place in small desk stationery sets and unnecessary paperwork. I was pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
Henry Slug is Senor Enrico Basilica. the Garden of Three Surmises is not part of the grounds of the History Monks Monastery. I think that is a thing in one of the books, but maybe it's, or maybe I'm misremembering it.
I can't remember if that's the one I chose or not, actually, because it's just like it's one of the gardens.
I chose the Garden of the Four Elements, and I was wrong. A well-known but rather stupid explorer who died after he yelled at a native was Sir Roderick Purdy. You got it right. Who died in Bang Bang Duck. Question 7, who owns the chalk? The Barons de Chums family. I got that one right. Okay. I'm surprised by that. That was a real guess. Question 8, who is considered the Discworld's greatest conqueror? Carolinus.
Good job.
There we go. Was Dolores de Sin's real name? Theta Withel. Not nah. Lucy Tockley. Lucy Tockley had one of the other terrible goth names. How many words are there for snow in the Ramtops? There are 18.
Ugh.
Not 14.
Apologies, but we would have both gotten it wrong.
That's so, fine. We did both get it wrong. The nearest major city to Ankh-Morpork is Stohelet.
Rude.
I am chastened. I was wrong. I apologize. I just don't think of Stohelet as a big city, but I guess it's big enough to have a wizard in it. So,
but I mean, like, and what is major? Like, you have to have a. You can't throw in words like that.
No, I guess not. Okay.
Okay. Sorry. I've gotten my answers up now.
The ideas taster, this is question 12, is named D.
Hmm?
I don't know why I got that right. That was just a total guess. I had no idea, listeners, honestly. Impersonal's nickname, buddy, we got that. It is Bill Rincewind is the Arch-Chancellor of Bugger Up University.
Yeah.
The currency in Hashiba is the dong.
Well, that it's a real currency. Well, so I'm
sure.
I stand by what I said, that it's a strange decision to put a real currency in a fantasy series.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, it's just a funny name.
It is a funny name.
It's a funny name to an English speaker.
When I went there, I was like,
mm. I'll give you 10 dongs. Hopefully that's not how you say it.
Yeah, but you also wouldn't get very much for 10 dongs.
No, okay, fair enough. Yeah. Where is it a currency?
I think it's Vietnam.
Okay.
And if that's wrong, please cut it out.
I don't know that. We'll look it up. The pointless albatross is not in the line fantastic. I guess it was looking for a literal answer, not a figurative one. Mm. So you were right and I was wrong. Question 17. Esmeralda Margaret of Lanka is the daughter of King Verence of Lanka and Queen Margaret and her throne. Her third name is Note Spelling.
Mm.
Question 18. Which of the following characters isn't one of the farmhands working for Miss Flitworth? King Scumble is not.
King Drink.
And question 19, the pub known as Beers was previously named the Crown and Axe. There we go. And Susan Stohelet has a birthmark that shows only when she's angry. Of course, that's three faint lines appearing on her cheek. I thought that was a pretty good quiz, actually.
Yeah.
I feel mean for being a bit rude about the writing. So well done to the author.
And dong is the currency of Vietnam.
Okay, great.
And has been since 78.
All right. Okay, cool.
That seems strange to me.
Well, what seems strange to you?
To use a real currency in a fantasy series.
Well, yeah, but he uses dollars for Ankh-Morpork. He didn't make up a new name.
That's fair,
he didn't call
I
them
guess.
Florins or something. I mean, that is also
Florins
a real one.
Is a real currency, yeah. But well, not anymore.
Most of them are real. I mean, this is why fantasy novels often just talk about gold pieces because then it doesn't situate it in a real place. But, yeah. Well, that was fun.
That was fun.
That was good fun. Should we answer a couple of questions from our listeners before we go?
Yeah, I reckon so.
Let's just do a few. Now we had some great ones via email from one of our subscribers, Stuart. Thank you, Stuart. I'm going to pick a couple of yours because you sent us a nice collection of them. Which, if any, of the books ahead have you not already read? And we kind of mentioned a couple, I think, in the podcast. But that's a good question, and I don't want to be secretive about it.
Mm.
I can tell you that I haven't read any of the Long Earth books.
Same here. Yep.
I haven't read any of the Discworld for Younger Readers ones. So none of the Tiffany A. Kings, and not the Amazing Maurice. I haven't read Nation. I haven't read the last two, so I haven't read Raising Steam, and I haven't read The Shepherd's Crown, which is the Tiffany A. King one. I think I've read everything else, certainly all the novels and quite a few of the short stories, but not all the short stories. But I think of the books, I'm pretty sure I've read everything else. The other ones that I hadn't read, like Dodger, I've now read for the podcast.
It's similar for me, though I've read some of the Tiffany A. King books. I read a third of Raising Steam because that's what I was reading when he died. Mm. And I haven't read the, what are they called? The Three Wonders of the Boy, the Johnny Maxwell books.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love those.
Yeah, so I'm excited about reading because I bought them and now yep. I'm trying to resist reading them early.
don't feel you have to.
I might actually just jump straight into it. But yeah. I also haven't read the Science of Discworld ones, so I'm looking forward to that.
Mm. Oh, yeah, actually, I haven't read the fourth one of those. That's another one. Or the Folklore of Discworld, which I bought and I really wanted to read, but I have been hanging on to it for the podcast. I'd probably read that because like maybe it would.
Maybe read it and I'll read Johnny Maxwell book and then we can both have jumped forward.
Yeah. Well, it might also just inform some of the stuff we talk about because I'm really fascinated to know what kind of insight it has into folklore stuff that I don't know. Because it's a lot of the stuff that Pratchett likes to draw on is folklore that I am at least a bit familiar with. Like I don't have a deep dive on English folklore. I know quite a bit about like from a layman's perspective, like I'm not an expert, but I know quite a bit of Celtic folklore and Greek mythology and some of the other stuff that he draws on. But I'm really interested to know, yeah, what kind of stuff is in there.
Mm.
So that was a great question. Thank you. I'll take one more of yours, Stuart. We'll pepper them through a few episodes. We'll get to them as we go. I like this question. If you were going to pick another author to cover in a Pratchett-style podcast series, which ones might be on your shortlist?
Mine would be Diana Wynne Jones.
Yes.
Because I love her work and I think it is underappreciated. Like, as in she was quite famous in her career, but I think her books went out of print for quite a while, actually, and then they sort of had a resurgence. So, and they're very, very well put together. I'm not sure of how many different ways to say I'm a big fan of her work and would love to cover them.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
cool.
Diana Wynne Jones, immediately.
I didn't realize until after we finished recording that I didn't give my answer to this question. And it is Douglas Adams. And you know what? He wrote so few books. I'm probably just going to do it. Now, I'm going to take also one from the Discord. This one was sent in by Nicole. Thank you, Nicole, for being a subscriber. And it actually ties into the most recent episode of the podcast we've just recorded because you were saying you're wondering if there's a canonical reason for why Grebo has managed to live so long. Because you've been listening to the Witcher's books again and there's several passing references to his history being multiple decades. Do cats live longer on the Discworld? Is it being near magic, pure stubbornness, or just lazy writing? Well, I think first of all, he's a real cat, so he probably lives for a long time. But I also wonder if it's got to do with the time skip in Lanka.
Yeah, because he maybe just didn't age that either.
Yeah, because he's sort of, according to the outside world, he's lived for a super long time. Mm. But in Lanka, maybe he's lived like a more regular cat sort of length.
Still quite long for a cat, though.
Yeah, because like cats won't live for like 15 to 20 years.
And it's different for indoor and outdoor cats. Though I think if you're indoor cats tend to live longer, apparently. Mm. Though I think if you're the outdoor cat,
yeah,
you live quite a long time. But I think that's where it spawns off into musicals like Cats, where they have like hierarchies and popularity. And once you hit your threshold, you aren't the cat anymore, and it's a whole thing.
Mm.
As though Cats has a plot, which it does not.
Well, as I've recently seen it described, and as I understand it to be, the cats have a magical dance battle to see who gets to go to magic cat heaven in a UFO.
Yeah, it's who gets to die.
That's basically it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, weird. Anyway, I guess the other thing is that if you had witches looking after you, then, you know, the normal things that would kill a cat or end a cat's life would probably not be much of a bother. And also, I wonder also if it's because Grebo's been turned into a person a few times.
So he might have gotten like a human longevity sort of crossover kind of guy?
Well, he might be thinking of himself more in human terms, like maybe his idea of time has altered so he doesn't feel as old.
Mm.
I don't know. And I mean, Nanny Og treats him like he's still a little kitten, even though he's, you know, not. So I wonder if that is also imparting to him some sort of youth.
Yeah.
So I think there's lots of ways we can, you know, headcanon it.
I reckon it makes sense in the context. It's not just the writing. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I go with that. But that's a great question and a nice tie-in to our recent episode about the unadulterated cat. So thank you so much, Nicole. Now, we know that there's a few other questions in there. Melissa sent one in from the Discord. But we want to save some of them for when we've got some time to think about them because a few of you have asked questions that are very deep and we want to
soul search,
really think about it because if we have a couple of those questions, that might take up most of an episode of the Oot Club.
Mm.
But I think that's pretty much it for our first episode.
Yeah.
thank you again so much for being subscribers. We hope you enjoyed this. Again, if you've got any ideas, please send them in. Get on the Discord. Send us an email.
If you did better than 12, please crow about it to us.
Yeah, tell us how smart you are on that quiz.
No, 100% please do, because I just want to know that someone can get more than 12. Like, it's just...
Yeah, it's a tough quiz.
Yeah.
And we'd like to take this podcast as an opportunity to ask you questions. We do sometimes do this on the main podcast, but we would love to hear from you. And we might as well start at the start, Liz.
Mm.
We've talked about how we got into Terry Pratchett. We ask all of our guests that question. We'd love to hear from you. Which was your first book? How did you find him? Please let us know. We'll share some of the answers on a future episode. And until next time, keep reading those ooks.
That was good.
There's no outro for this.
No.
It doesn't need one.
That can be it.